Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This hour is brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto, online at CarX.com.
This is the David Ross Show.
Chicago!
My expectation is for us to win ball games. I mean, like, we're going to go out and compete really hard. I think it's a fun group.
World Series hero.
And now the 1-2 pitch on the way to Ross. Swung on, hit in the air, deep center field. Back goes Davis. Back near the track, near the wall. Davis leaping, and that ball is a home run.
David Ross with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
The manager of your Chicago Cubs, David Ross, joins us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino out in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Rossi, your team has been on quite the little run lately. Hello, and how have things been going for you for the last couple of weeks?
Good, man. The guys are playing hard. I think, credit to the coaching staff and the players really continue to stay in our process and try to get better every single day. These guys, I think they've shown a fight all year long, to be honest with you. We come up a little bit short early on in the season, but the second half has went much better with the health of some of our starting pitching and, better play. I think there's still room for improvement. There's a lot of areas where guys are continuing to get better and push themselves, and hopefully we can finish strong here in Cincinnati and carry that into the offseason and come back with that same mindset come spring training 2023.
What are the concrete ways to make this surge matter? How do you lock in positive things that have happened and make sure that things just don't kind of reset when next year begins? And I know we use phrases like momentum and build on things, but how do you make sure that there's value to this quality play?
Well, the value comes from the learning and the work. The value doesn't come from, the winning is the result, and carrying that into the next year, I don't know that carries a whole lot of carries a whole lot of weight, because there's change every year. Every season is unique within itself. I don't believe in really, year to year things going into the next year, other than just continue to get better and learn and win. When they happen, those things happen, you believe, you start to have belief in yourself. You start to trust the process of your work and the lessons you've learned throughout the season and continue to grow. That's where it carries, and that's the value. How we're going about our daily business, no matter what our record is, no matter where we're at in the standings, we just continue to try to play consistent baseball on a daily basis, come in with the mindset of trying to win each pitch, try to do the little things right, and those are the expectations around here. It's the expectations of focus, effort, hard work, and being a good teammate, and these guys have owned all those things, especially in the second half, has started to pay out and show a little bit.
How would you assess Seiya Suzuki's first year of Major League Baseball?
Success. I actually think it's a great success. He dealt with some adversity and some injuries. He found his way, navigating a new culture, navigating a language barrier. Travel is much different from where he came from. The schedule is much different than where he came from. He's been a very consistent at bat since he's been back from the finger issue, and then obviously having that time off for the baby and traveling, you know, over all those time zones, really not easy on the body. I think he's learned a lot. I've talked to him recently at length, and there's a lot he's learned about how he wants to come in and be better, even better next year. But I would say he had a very successful season for us.
Now, extrapolating his WAR number over a full season, if you're talking about a 3+ win player as a rookie going through everything that he went through, it's pretty phenomenal. And that would put him close to value with Wilson Contreras, who has been the subject of a lot of attention lately for obvious reasons. What have your personal conversations with Wilson been like about how he feels now and what the future may hold?
We actually, I'm wrapping up player meetings today and tomorrow. I have not met with Wilson yet, but I can tell you what I know about Wilson and how much he cares and wanting to get the ankle injury behind him and get ready to play back that last home series. The way he goes about his business, the experience he has here in winning and being around a lot of championship caliber baseball players and winning a World Series, like he's an important piece to what we're doing around here and how he carries himself and goes about his business. So I haven't met with Wilson yet, so I don't know all his thoughts on that. I know he's just committed to finishing out the season and setting himself in a good place for his off season. And we want what's best for Wilson, and you know, we love him around here, and you know, we'll see what happens in the off season, but I haven't had that conversation with him yet.
When you do these meetings, what to you is the most significant thing you can learn from or about one of your players?
What they've learned and where they want to get to. Yeah, I think, you know, I think everybody assesses their season differently and talking through how to help them grow. But I mean, a lot of it is real feedback from veteran players of how we need to get better as a whole. What areas do you want to improve? And then a lot of it for the young guys is, okay, it's your first full season, first time going through 162. What have you learned about that? What have you, you know, kind of your routine and processes done for you, and how are you going to improve those, and how are we going to get, you know, this marathon of a season going into next year? You're going to start earlier than you've ever started, and you're going to finish later than you've ever finished. And hopefully we get into October baseball again and are able to play for another month. So I think just making sure that their intentions into the off season are to be here for that long haul of a championship season and continue to work towards that and keep our eye on that, as well as we're going through a lot of growth. So just listening to them and getting their feedback and giving them real input about maybe some areas that they want to improve, and we can give them feedback of there's something that they don't say that we can kind of put a cherry on top.
2.6 million fans have come through Wrigley Field this year, in a year that was a little rough. And the atmosphere there over the last couple of weeks has been electric, with the team playing well. As someone who manages there, that also played there, is there value for a player? Like, I'm thinking about Wilson in this case, Rossi, just so you kind of understand where I'm going with this. Is there value in the Wrigley Field Cubs experience that might be hidden added value for someone that has an opportunity to go get a payday somewhere else? But is there something to the idea of Wrigley and being a Cub being special?
Absolutely. It's a special place. And a guy that just got a lot of love the other day, Jason Hayward, took less money to come to Wrigley and come to Chicago and be a part of that special atmosphere, those special fan base. When you're around the league, and I think it's a different appreciation for when you go play for other teams and you come to be a Cub and play at Wrigley Field, you realize the difference. When you come up here, I think there's a little bit of wow, this place is great. What else is out there? And sometimes you get to the grass isn't always greener. I think we've all experienced that in areas of our life. So it is a special place. I don't think anybody takes it for granted. I think Wilson understands what a special place this is. Anybody who's played here and been anywhere else or guys that haven't been here and have been other places, they come in here and they can't believe how great the fan base is, how great the organization treats you, how well we're treated over here, and how many great things that this organization does. So I think for everybody, that's real. You understand passionate fan bases and special places, and this is definitely one of them.
Throughout the season, you've talked about the energy level that Willie Harris brings to your team. I'd be curious to know how you feel about him, his name popping up with the White Sox job now being open. He's a someone whose name is going to be a part of this conversation. How do you assess him as a managerial prospect?
You know, I mean, the guy's a hard worker. He's a connector. He's a guy that is really, you know, when you see him interact with the players, they just there's collateral there that he's built up in a friendship and a mentor role, and he's got their back. He cares for them outside of just their performance as individuals, and when you have that, you can cash in on that to get extra work or have conversations or push them to be a little bit better. I think like Willie's got all those qualities, you know, and as much as you know, you don't want to lose guys on your coaching staff that really impact players and make you better. I think everybody's goal is continue to move up, climb up, and be at the top of whatever they're passionate about and want to do. So I know that's something that he would love to do. I know that's something he's working towards, growing every single day. And you know, if that happens, great. We're here to support him. We'll help. You know, I can help in any way. I've got Andy Green, who's been a manager and been in a lot of interviews. We'll help out in any way, but we'd also hate to lose him in the same breath. So he's a special, special man, and we want what's best for those people that give you their all every single day when it comes to when they get to improve their quality of life or what they want to do and are passionate about.
He's an energetic guy. It comes across when you see him out there on the field. Is there... Can he still be that guy while managing a team? And what were some of the things that you learned about, like, the grind of managing 162 that could be helpful?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of the same stuff he possesses. I think, like, him being able to have people skills, that's where it starts. It's about investing in people. You know, there's that saying, you know, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care, right? Like, that's Willie to a T. He's gonna get on your side and become your friend and be passionate about you as a human being first. I think the difference in managing is there's a little less time to interact with players consistently, and you have to find your moments to try to impact them, get to know them, hang out with them, and also, you know, the words when you do have to give them hard truths, it's the seat and the title comes with a little more weight. And so you got to choose your words carefully. And, you know, that's a delicate balance. I learn that on a daily basis. I'm still learning a lot. I have no hesitation about Willie Harris learning how to navigate the human being and the human element side of things that come with managing. And then a lot of it is just experience. Like, look, like, you know, he's got to do some things in the minor leagues and that I didn't get to do, so he's further along in that aspect, and I grow on a daily basis. I think if you would talk to any manager that's done it for as long as Tony La Russa has, or Bruce Bochy, or Joe Maddon, they'll probably tell you there's a lot of things that are new to each and individual game that come at you that are learning moments or things that you can pull from your past. I think that's just part of managing, is the more experience you get, the better you're going to be over the long haul and continue to try to grow and get better. So I think that would go for everybody. But, you know, we're excited for Willie if he gets that opportunity. And I have no hesitation that Willie can adjust fast and relate to players.
When a season ends, what non-baseball thing do you most look forward to?
When the season ends, what non-baseball thing do I look most like? What am I happy to not have to do?
Oh, no, is there anything specific you say that you love doing, but you just cannot do this thing in season?
Oh, my kids, for sure. Like, I cannot wait to get home. My son's got a championship football game in middle school and he's the center, and like, it freaking sucks to miss those games. And my daughter has 4 games left. She got a tournament on Saturday, and then she plays 2 big rivals of big high schools in volleyball on Monday and Wednesday. My youngest has soccer games on the weekends. It's the city league stuff and practices. I went home the last off day and got to fit all those things in. I get to fit in a soccer practice. My son had actually fall baseball game, and my daughter had a volleyball game against my old high school. So I got to run home and do, it was nice that all that was happening in one day. Shoot, man, that is the constant battle
that's
in my mind.
That's more work than managing.
It's work, yeah, but like, impacting your family is a lot more than impacting baseball players.
Look, I'm as romantic as anybody for that kind of stuff. I know it sounds great, but between, you know, the driving and the scheduling and all the emotions and all that,
Rossi, you got to understand that Dan has been dragging his son around to different hockey leagues and baseball games, and he's getting ready to. It's the last year of it.
Yeah, we're about to be empty nesters. Yeah. And look, I love him dearly, but 6 a.m. hockey practices are fun, man.
Listen, I get you. Like, by the time spring training starts, I'm ready to get the heck out of town. You know, like, okay. I get it. But my window is so small. I promise you, like, from the experience of playing to all the guys that are retired and home now and my coaching staff, like, when that gets taken away from you, you miss watching your son or daughter grow and like compete and be there. I like, my favorite thing to do is go, like, right before we leave, she got a bunch of volleyball tournaments and like where they travel and travel team. It's just like to watch them compete and grow. Like, no, I get it. It's hard, but
I know it's funny, like, you say that, because I actually, my son is manipulative enough that when I'm so, you slept through your alarm, get up, dumbass, we're gonna leave here in 10 minutes and I'm leaving without you. And he goes, no, you're not, and you're gonna miss this. Like, I'm not gonna miss this part of it, idiot.
That's right. No, I mean, like, I'm not trying to be sappy or sentimental, but that's really like what I can't, like, you know, usually I think most managers stay in the town and talk and meet and all that. I am on the first plane home. I'll be back within a week after, you know, things slow down and I don't get them. And, you know, getting up at 6 a.m. and cooking breakfast and doing my daughter's hair and, like, you know, having her, like, you know, drag around and forcing her to brush her teeth and, you know, all that stuff at some point. Yeah, sure. Like, it's not ideal, but I definitely miss it when I don't get to do it on a daily basis. They're growing up so fast, and I get to impact people and baseball players every single day. I'd like a little more opportunity to impact my kids on a regular basis.
Rossi, before we let you go, obviously this run that you guys have been on at the end of the season has been great, and like we were saying, the atmosphere at Wrigley has been outstanding. For the Cub fan that's looking for some things to hold on to as you guys, you know, figure some stuff out in the off season, what would you say they should be hopeful about coming into the next season?
I think, hopeful may not be the word. I think the things that I would take a big 30,000-foot view of this year is, like, okay, we didn't have some of those veteran pitchers healthy early on to stabilize our rotation. We didn't have enough depth. Those things have kind of come back around. Stroh got healthy, was phenomenal. Wade Miley never really got healthy. Drew Smyly got healthy, was really good. Hayden Wesneski's done a nice job. Samson's pitched really well. Hopefully Kyle gets back and healthy and you start to see like a real basis. Javier Saad has done a nice job. Like, there's actually some depth there. Brandon Hughes has done a nice job in the bullpen. And there's some guys that have continued to grow down there throughout this season and figured out where their success lies, from a pitching standpoint. And then, like, Nico stayed healthy most of the year, and in half got much better. Saya looks real. We've still got plenty of holes to fill. I mean, Morel came out of nowhere and put himself on the map. There's a lot of guys that are used this opportunity and took advantage of it this year. And so, like, you see the real pieces. Now it's over the next, you know, little while and picking the right pieces to add to that, and everybody continued to focus on getting better and growing and trying to have that championship caliber play on a daily basis is where we're trying to get to. So what I would say is it's coming. You know, there's some depth. There's some highlights. We still have a long way to go, but, you know, we're working hard to get there, and everybody is working hard. I can assure them of that.
David Ross, thanks so much.
Yeah, great to talk to you guys this year. Y'all take care.
Our guy, Rossi, he's great, man. I'm rooting for that dude. Good for him.
I think he's in a good position with this team. I really do.
I do, too. And I think that he has expressed how he feels. And I think that everyone's on the same page. You know what I mean?
Yep, like, I do.
They understand what they want to do next, and he's a big part of what they want to do next.
What we're going to do next is have a conversation with NFL Next Gen Stats analyst Edward Urgos. He's going to go inside these new fancy numbers to tell us about the Chicago Bears.
Oh, no.
Buckle up. He's next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Justin Fields could get hurt.
Yeah.
And he's going to be hurt.
Probably.
Snap to Fields. Blitz is on. Fields in trouble, and down he goes.
He's getting sacked all the time.
Fields in a tight pocket. Doesn't escape, but he's swallowed up, and down he goes. Sacked for the second time tonight.
He's scrambling out of the pocket all the time.
Fields gun. Three right, one left. Snap back. Fields going to keep it. Trying to outrun a defender. He's going to be bottled up and dropped.
He's going to get hurt. The problem is you don't want it to happen when you're evaluating this kid. Did someone say evaluate? Well, we have all kinds of tools at our disposal with which to evaluate players and teams and their performance against what the expectations would be on a given play. Next Gen Stats doing a lot of that work. And Edward Egros, he's on Twitter at EdWithSports, is an NFL analyst for Next Gen Stats. And he joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What's up, Edward? How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Great to talk to some Chicago folks. I got my master's from Northwestern, so I feel like I'm right at home here.
Well, good. We are happy that you are available, and our guy Joe Ostrowski was like, I can't believe you guys got him on. He's fantastic. So I'm excited to talk with you, even though I might not be as excited after we're done talking because of the subject matter. So I'm curious, of all the things that you've broken down on the Bears, what's been the most disheartening number?
So it has a lot to do with targets, and I still believe that Justin Fields still has some real qualities that can make him an NFL-caliber quarterback. I still believe that. But when I'm looking at his targets and where he's throwing the ball to and where he's having his most success, his highest total EPA, and EPA is expected points added, where basically, you know, an 8-yard gain on 4th and 9 is bad, 8-yard gain on 1st and 10 is good, so it's situational in terms of how well an offense is moving the ball down the field. When you look at the targets he's throwing to with the greatest amount of success, they're Khalil Herbert. They're David Montgomery. They're largely running backs. And they're not the wide receivers whom you really want to have deep down the field. And this is a quarterback who is meant to run a good bit, roll out a good bit, and then be able to throw it deep. And that last aspect of his game really hasn't been there. And so to me, the most disheartening thing is just the inability to be able to push the ball down the field with chunk plays, because that's what you got him for.
Edward, a critical concept of next-gen stats has to do with yards above expectation. And every week I get the email from Christian Blattner that goes through some of the NFL highlights, and I always try to seek out the Bears in there. For someone who is completely new to what you do, how do you determine the expectation of what a given play is going to pick up, run or pass?
So let's start with something like completion percentage over expected, because I think this is an easy one, where you look at where the ball is being thrown to, how deep the ball is being thrown to, and all these other situational factors that we've seen in football time and time again. And what you can tell by measuring all of these data is figure out how likely a pass was going to be completed based upon how deep it is and all these other factors. And then you look at how well they actually completed a pass an offense did. And then you look at that difference between the actual completion percentage and the expected completion percentage based upon data, difficulty, et cetera. And then you come up with that completion percentage over expected. And so that difference is usually a pretty good indicator as far as, okay, this is what we should see from an NFL offense. This is what we are seeing. And then from there, you can start to evaluate who's doing the most, who's able to go above and beyond what's expected, and who may be, you know, perhaps inadequate in certain features.
From what you know of NFL teams, how much do they value getting information like the next-gen stats?
It's enormous. And this is something where more and more frequency, pretty much every NFL team is basically, you know, clamoring for this information. And I think one of the things that I think we do sort of on the outside of the NFL is sort of turn this into, say, like a binary debate. Do you believe in analytics? Yes or no. Is data useful? Yes or no. And the truth is, every NFL team in some way, shape, or form has embraced analytics, has embraced next-gen stats. The question is, to what degree? You know, everything involves probability in some way, shape, or form. And so some NFL teams are certainly more accustomed and more comfortable with using this information in terms of decision-making, and some maybe are a little bit less informed, whatever the case may be. But to say that this is like some binary conversation, like yes or no, it doesn't really work that way anymore. Every NFL team, they're using these tools in some way, shape, or form. It's just a matter of degree.
On your breakdowns of the Bears offense, how has the offensive line performed?
Well, I have some questions, because on the one hand, when you look at, say, quarterback pressures and sacks and, you know, all those big glamorous plays, it's largely a quarterback stat, right? Because if you're holding onto the ball too long, trying to find the absolute perfect situation, and you're not throwing the ball away when a play completely breaks down, or, you know, secondary sacks, things we, you know, refer to that way, then that's usually the fault of the quarterback. And it's because you're holding on to the ball too long, the decision-making's poor, whatever it is. But then when you sort of break down the pressure numbers themselves, I think it tells a slightly different story when it comes to Justin Fields. His quarterback pressure rate in terms of a defender being within, say, a yard and a half of him upon, you know, time of throw or whatever it is at any point during the play, that's 44.6%. That's really, really high. He's also blitzed a good bit, and so that partially explains why the pressure rate is so high. Daniel Jones is first in the NFL at 46.2%. So you got a 46%er, and you got Justin Fields at about 45%, and in third place is 10 percentage points fewer. That's a humongous gap. So part of that can very well be Justin Fields hanging on to the ball too long. He has a really high, you know, average time to throw. But then when that gap is so massive from first and second to third, you have to believe that the pressure is breaking down enough to where it's making Justin Fields' job that much harder. And so to answer your question about the offensive line, sure, there are some serious questions there, in part because the pressure rate is much higher than everyone else's.
So if someone also wanted to continue making the case that Justin Fields doesn't have a chance here, he's not getting a fair shot, how would one construct a next-gen statistical case beyond just that? If we're looking at throwing windows, if we're looking at the kinds of passes he has to make based on the openness or lack thereof of receiving targets and factoring in the time he has to throw?
Well, let's start with time to throw. So he has the most throws with 4+ seconds from time of the snap to actual release. And so that's probably an indicator that he's having to scramble for his life, try and find somebody open. Maybe receivers aren't getting as open as well as perhaps he needs. His average time to throw, 3.12 seconds. That's the third longest among all qualifying quarterbacks. So constructing this argument really does begin with how much tougher is it for him to complete throws than it is for, say, any other quarterback. And I would argue that the difficulty at this point is quite high. He's scrambling more per dropback than any other quarterback. And these aren't necessarily in structure or designed. He's having to make himself open. He's having to buy some time and find an open target. So that, to me, are signs that he's not in, say, the best possible situation he can be. But at the same time, you know, in this quarterback evaluation process, nothing's really in a vacuum, right? You sort of play the hand that you're dealt, and then you figure out if this quarterback is in the right possible situation. And, you know, keep in mind that, you know, there's been a coaching change since he took over as quarterback. So that's also going to be a question. How well does he perform with this particular group? So there are a lot of factors that go in that sort of mess with each other, so to speak. But to me, I go back to how well is he trying to protect the ball? And to me, I think he's trying to do about as much as he can. I don't see too many, say, hero plays that he's trying to make. For instance, his tight window throw rate is 4.5%. That's really low. He's not trying to throw, you know, to someone who's double teamed or something like that often. So the protection of the football, I think, is pretty good. But at the same time, he is in a really tough spot.
At the beginning of this, you were saying that, you know, that you still have some hope. Well, what puts you in that position of feeling like there's still hope for this player to develop? And how much does it have to do with the lack of games that he's played?
So I look at, say, the state of the NFL right now. And to me, mobility at the quarterback position is probably more important than ever before. I think someone, say, like Lamar Jackson with Baltimore, I think he's more of a trendsetter than he is, say, an outlier. Pat Mahomes is really mobile. But you know, a lot of the other great young quarterbacks right now do require some level of mobility. And then I look at Justin Fields and I look at his athleticism. You look at the top speeds among quarterback plays, Justin Fields owns 4 of the top 10. He is a fast football player. And that athleticism, plus the decision-making that we've seen from him in college and to an extent, you know, in the NFL, you know, in small doses, I think that athleticism still suggests that there is something there. Now, is he in the right system? Is he in the right situation? That's still something where I would certainly want more data to figure out those kinds of answers. But that athleticism leads me to believe that he has at least the right skills necessary to play in today's game.
Edward, in your opinion, What is next for Next Gen Stats? It's still relatively early in the life of this. What would be an area for if your boss is asked, hey, where can we evolve? What is something that piques your curiosity where we haven't figured out the measurement tool quite yet?
I think for me personally, the biggest question I have always had when it comes to, say, understanding the game of football in general is how well a quarterback is making decisions. Because, yeah, you can see a quarterback make a 20-yard completion, and, yeah, that's great, moves the chains, all that stuff. But was it the best possible decision in that situation? It's possible that a receiver may have been even more wide open, or someone way down the field could have been open had you scrambled to your right or something. Some kind of a bootleg may have been the better decision. Maybe you misread a defense, and then that caused some problems. To me, I would love to know when a quarterback is making the absolute best possible decision. And to me, sometimes those decisions can be throwing it 60 yards into the stands because there's literally nobody open and nobody's going to be open. So if there is some sort of metric that would say, okay, in this particular play, the quarterback made the best decision or the second best decision, and then add up those decisions to determine, say, a success rate or first correct decision rate, something like that. I do feel like that we can be evolving toward having something like that. Certainly we're not there yet. And it's something that, we've had many conversations about internally saying, what do we want to be able to do to evaluate quarterbacks better? And certainly we're always trying to find ways to improve as far as that's concerned. But to me personally, I have always been curious as far as how to quantify decision-making, because once you're able to do that, then I think you can have a much better idea as far as how to power rank quarterbacks. I mean, we have our NGS passing score, which I think really helps in terms of isolating quarterback skills. And I think that is a wonderful metric. Really excited to share that. But at the same time, I think that decision-making is also something that we could stand to talk about even more.
What's something in the league outside of wins and losses that you've put a pin in and you're like, I'm going to track this for the rest of the season?
Well, to me, obviously the quarterback position is the most important. And so I'm always curious, let's chart these passing scores and see how stable they are. And sometimes we can be surprised as far as, okay, if there's a name, say, in the top five that we weren't expecting, how long are they going to be staying in this? And so for me, I'm going to be curious, like in Seattle, for instance, Geno Smith's passing score numbers have been off the charts. He's been unbelievable. And I'm curious as far as how that's happened. I mean, we're 4 weeks into the season. At some point, you start to have to take these numbers seriously. And yes, Seattle was certainly bad as far as our priors were concerned, I think, for most people. But the fact that Geno Smith is playing incredibly well, still has a great receiving core around him, I'm going to be curious to see how stable that is over time. Can you be off to a hot start? Is 4 weeks enough to say, hey, look, Seattle has something here. This is serious. Jared Goff also had a great passing score last week. How important is that in terms of stability for Detroit down the road, despite having a rough year last year? So in terms of beyond wins and losses, I'm very much curious to see how stable things are and at what point during an NFL season can you start to say, okay, this is serious versus the sample size is too small.
We are going to talk again this season for sure. I can tell you that, Edward. That's outstanding stuff.
Thanks so much. If Edward wants to.
We'll find him. We'll track him down and we'll make him do it.
The next time we can have a conversation about tavern style pizza with Edward.
I'm in. 100%. Let's do it.
All right.
There we go. The completion probability of eating this whole pizza versus what you would expect from me, given how hungry I am.
Pizza exactly. Matrix will be coming next at some point with Edward Egros, NFL Next Gen Stats Analyst. Edward, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Give him a follow at Ed with Sports. When we come back, I want to just talk briefly about the Aaron Judge thing, what it is and what it isn't. What?
I got a preview of this during a break yesterday, and I'm so excited for you to just do your thing.
It's not going
to
take very long. It's just, we just got to be honest about this. next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and 670thescore.com, in Odyssey Station.
Well, now we're told we're going to skip the commercial because there's something going on with Aaron Judge.
Stand by, here we go. Aaron Judge, one home run shy of 61. Here's a live look into Yankee Stadium, and Michael Kay on the call, part of the YES Network, as Judge chases history.
So the first two games against the Reds.
Except not. That was during the Wake Forest Clemson game, of course.
It's very specific history.
Look, we just need
chasing.
Yeah, we need a little history lesson here. And sometimes records are fun when you do the little compilation things and you say, "Oh, DeMar DeRozan is chasing Wilt Chamberlain, who's never had this many points in this many games." Okay, there is no American League.
I mean, there is.
But it's a conference now.
Correct.
Well, we have to understand, I'm old enough to remember when there were two leagues. I'm old enough to remember the American League umps in their maroon jackets with their big outside-the-body balloon chest protectors.
You remember Len Coleman being the National League president.
Yes, and then Lee McPhail, F-A-I-L, and Nestor Shylock, the umpire. There was a time when these were separate leagues. They were separate businesses. It was like the AFL and the NFL and the USFL. They were separate businesses. And the only time the teams played each other would be in the All-Star Game and the World Series. And they had different rules. And they had different baseballs.
And now they're the AFC and the NFC.
If that. It is saying that Aaron Judge is setting an American League record is like breaking into other sports for an NBA Eastern Conference record. That's what this is. There's no American League office. There's no American League baseball. There's no American League rules. It's just a conference. So to now say, well, I would have more respect if you want to do the Yankees exceptionalism thing, and that's what this all comes from.
Sure.
This is all Yankees exceptionalism.
Well,
a little bit of racism.
Yes.
And a little bit of erasure of Barry Bonds and some of that. And I get all that. Maybe a lot of racism. But if you want to just say Yankees record, it would be more meaningful to me to say this is where Babe Ruth played. Who actually, the whole 60 and 154... pretty good, although, you know, no people of color were playing.
Sure.
Except maybe Babe Ruth. So,
right.
Reverend. So, if you want to just do that, say Ruth played here and Maris played here and Dad Gummit, all the greats played
and
here.
Mickey Mantle played here and Joe DiMaggio played here and Derek Jeter played here.
So did
Alex Rodriguez, though.
Hide behind the cockamamie American League record. It is the equivalent of we are breaking in.
Jim Kelly going for the AFC passing record.
We're breaking into college football. Breaking into an ACC college football game to show you somebody breaking a Western Conference rebounding record.
I think my favorite.
What are we doing?
I think my favorite part of it is that you're not even really the biggest college football guy, and you're offended by the fact that you were watching this game, and then all of a sudden. All right, here's the thing where we go. They did it.
Sean McDonough said something like he threw some shade.
There's been a lot of shade thrown. I was watching the NFL Countdown show while I was writing my column last night, and Susie Culber had to do it twice. And you could just tell that, like, it wasn't like she was mad. It was just like, oh, I guess I gotta do this thing again where. Sure, Steve Young and Jerry Rice are right here on the field, but let's go break in and talk with Aaron Judge.
It's the current American and National Leagues are the same as conferences, and nobody gives a damn about conference records. No one cares about the all-time Eastern Conference scoring record or the all-time Western Conference assist record. That's what we're doing. We're breaking into other sports. For a conference record.
I am actually okay if, and it didn't happen this way, Apple had all of it, but if Pujols is sitting on 699, and because there have only been three guys that have gotten over 700, you want to break in for that, that's cool to me. The Aaron Judge thing lost its coolness when Roger Maris's kid just continues to be out here, you know, doing all sorts of weird stuff and acting like Barry Bonds doesn't exist. And the way that baseball's been able to act like Barry Bonds doesn't exist is to compartmentalize this thing and turn it into something that no one cares about.
And to his credit, Aaron Judge keeps saying the record's 73.
Right. I was a fan of Barry Bonds and I watched him hit 73 home runs.
NCAA.
That's the record. But I don't think this would be happening. Like, let's say Aaron Judge was on the Rays.
No, it wouldn't be.
Right?
But that's why you should lean into your Yankees.
Right,
lean into the exceptionalism. And I would almost buy that if the big deal was that it was the New York Yankees all-time single-season home run record.
I actually think that that has more cachet to it than what they're trying to do. And there's your connection, and there's your whole thing of, well, here's Roger Maris's kid sitting next to Aaron Judge's mom.
I'm tired of seeing them.
Then you can do it, but the rest of it just feels like, And there are better ways, I think, to bring people to baseball, but maybe baseball thinks this is a way to bring, but I tell you this much.
But what are you going
to
do? He's done it! He's done it! He has the American League. Think about what you're doing. About it.
Are they going to stop the game?
Yes. Think about what you're doing. There's no leagues anymore. There aren't different leagues. They literally dissolved the league offices. There used to be different baseballs and different umpires and different rules. They were different leagues. They're not. Stop. They won't stop.
They won't. Can't stop, won't stop. Take that, take that.
What about Thanks?
Well, he didn't hit any home runs either.
James Fegan was there watching all of the White Sox festivities yesterday. Not a great day for the White Sox organization on any level, and James will talk about it next on The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.